Welcome to the Indie Film Review. God, it has been a long time coming, my friends. My name is Dan, and with me, as always, is Jared. I got to introduce the episode this week because I'm special, and Dad loves me best.
It's your special day, and Daddy loves you.
Anyway, we like to interview and review. Okay.
Wait a minute.
Why did you give me this responsibility? I can't handle it.
At first I thought you said we like to end, and I'm like, holy shit, is the podcast over? Wow, we're good at this. And then you said interview, and I'm like, we kind of interview the movie.
Yeah, we
do. That's kind of correct.
We interview the movie, and we review it. And it's an independent film podcast. So we are only reviewing independent films, which is fantastic, because this week we got to review, or we got to watch, I believe the film is called Under the Silver Lake. Jared, how did you feel about this movie? Give me your first impressions.
This movie, 2018, IMDb says, before I give my impressions, I want to talk about its debut at the Cannes Film Festival.
Oh, really?
So this is
The Cannes
Film Festival. It is done by David Robert Mitchell.
I want to talk about this also really quickly.
Okay.
Oh,
he did It Follows, which was great.
Yeah, he did It Follows, which was a that's kind of the resurgence of, or a renaissance, if you will, of modern horror, which is fantastic.
Yes.
Now, I want to tell you something. This is done by the same studio, A24, that did Hereditary.
Yeah.
Midsommar. The new fucking Lighthouse movie.
Yeah, which we want to see.
A24 is making films watchable again.
Seriously.
It's like 1999 was a huge fucking year for movies. You had The Matrix. You had Go. You had so many fucking amazing movies. 20 years later, it's happening again.
I just see Dan running into the streets going, "It's happening! My God! It's happening again!"
What year is it?
What year is it? Why, it's Christmas Day, sir!
But are people watching films?
Anywho, they only really make interesting things. They only produce and release interesting things. Would that be a fair assessment of
A24? Yes.
Yeah, I believe. So when Under the Silver Lake was picked up, everyone was like, whoa, let's get excited because of, you know, who was going to be financing and driving this thing. So it premieres, and then everyone's kind of like, what? Huh? And it got severely mixed reviews to almost like negative to mixed.
I'm very curious.
It was,
as to how our review is going to turn out as a result.
Yeah. It was so decisive that they made it direct to video. Like, it was going to have a wide release and be released in theaters, but they fucking video on demanded it. Boom. Instantly. It was just erased. And I was watching the panel of the day after, people watching this film with the director and everything else, and people kept asking him this one question that I guess I'll talk about it now, is like how women are portrayed in the film,
mm-hmm.
and what's like, is there a deeper meaning? Are you trying to get at something with that? And the director he was clueless. I don't know if he just didn't want to say. Or he's just like, it's from the perspective of the main character. That's all I can say.
He probably didn't even mean it. He probably, like, oh my God. Okay.
Which is amazing because there's so much you can pick up from this movie that I don't think the director or, because he wrote this movie as well, I believe.
Jared.
That they even get that they did.
I'm going to have to stop you before I splurge in my pants. I watched this last night.
Me too.
And I have been wanting to talk about this so much so that I lost sleep. This film, everybody who's listening to me right now, I don't care if it's divisive, if you are going to like it, you're going to hate it, go fucking watch this movie, because it is a splendor of cinematography, of mise-en-scene. It's so fucking crazy, and I love the hell out of it. This is immediately went into my top 10 movies.
I think that this movie deserves to be watched.
It deserves to be watched. I'm not going to lie. There's stuff wrong with it.
Yeah, for sure.
But it fucking blew my mind so much so that I was watching it mouth agape for like 40 minutes at a time because it's a 2-hour and 20-minute movie.
Yeah, it's very long.
And you feel it. You feel it. It's it's not one that just flies by.
I like this movie a lot. There are definitely issues with it that we will get into. But, Dan.
Yes?
Why don't you try to give us... I say try. Try to explain what this movie is about.
It is going to be very difficult to tell you what this movie is about because there's so much fucking garbage you have to sift through, excuse me. And by garbage, I mean, you know, one man's garbage is another man's treasure kind of thing. Like, I was eating all of the garbage. So, basically what happens is it stars Andrew Garfield. And he plays this fucking sleazeball dude who can't afford his rent because he doesn't have a fucking job. Mm-hmm. And he has a crush on his neighborhood girl or in his little apartment complex. And she goes missing one day and he just goes to find her. That's basically it. But he goes into kind of like Mulholland Drive, like Hollywood has its own underground and it becomes supernatural at points. And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. While trying to find this woman, he enters the realm of just bizarre madness. I don't know what it could be. It's really wild, the trip that he takes. And I want to say that Andrew Garfield's performance in this is really, really solid. I mean, everyone does a fantastic job.
Yeah,
in this.
Everyone.
There's the guy from That 70s Show in this who I didn't
Topher
even realize
Grace.
It was him.
Yeah,
Topher. And I was like, holy shit, it's That 70s Show guy. And he was good. His friend Alan, I gotta look him up. I like that actor a lot. He meets him a few times, but he's a very good actor.
He was in, I forgot his name already. I looked it up yesterday, but he was in an episode or two of Psych. He was a recurring character. Here's something that I want to say before we get into the movie proper.
Jimmy Simpson is the name
Jimmy
of that
Simpson.
Actor. He's
okay.
Good. I like him a lot.
Now, I'm going to address you in this rhetorical question, but
okay.
It's supposed to be for everybody in the audience. So just... I know you guys don't like your hands held, but just know that this next question is directed at Jared, but it's for you, really.
Do I get to answer?
You, if you want to. But okay. Jared?
Even though it's rhetorical.
Buddy, have you ever felt like a film was made specifically for you? Because that's what this fucking movie was for me. Every fucking second was just like, hey, Dan, here's my dick. I'm going to slap you in the face with it a little bit. And you're going to like it. And I'm like, okay.
So wait, the movie that's made for you is a dick that slaps you in the face?
Hey, to each his own, all right?
Hey, I'm not judging. I'm just questioning.
I don't know. It just I felt so...
Well, can we talk about what I think this movie is about?
Yes, please.
So this film is excellently shot, like we said. The music is superb. It's done by the same guy.
You know why the music is superb?
It's done by the same guy who did It Follows.
Okay. So why the music I think is so superb in this movie is it's kind of harkening back to the old Hollywood, classical Hollywood scores. It's fucking
film noir.
Beautiful. Yeah.
It's old school Hollywood.
This is a neo-noir. It's a brand new noir film. It sets up the lore of the film very well. It has beautiful noir-inspired shots. Like, one of my favorite shots in this film is in the first 20 minutes where he meets the girl for the first time and she, like, kind of comes into lightness and then her face kind of lights up because she's walking into light.
Oh,
that
it's
is
wonderful.
That is taken directly out of noir movies. It's fucking crazy.
They would do that back then to make the woman softer and more attractive.
Yeah,
looking.
Soft light.
And a lot of times they would do that with actresses where they would soften the light and make them. I was just watching the French film. It's called The Samurai.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about this assassin or whatever.
I have yet to see that,
like,
but I know about it.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. There's some issues. It gets a little boring, but I mean, the cinematography and everything is really great. But every time they show a female lead, they're like, it's like you're looking at a completely different movie because the lighting is so soft. You're like, and it always made me smile. I'm just like, oh, this is so good. But yes, so we have this weird neo-noir film that would have worked really well if the mystery made sense. And I guess in terms of like the neo-ness, like if you can get past the mystery not making sense, because there are a lot of things that
like
do
I
make
did?
Sense. Yes. If you're going into this thinking this is going to be a whodunit mystery or whatever that I can solve, give up on that immediately. There's no puzzles to put together. It's nothing like that. It's about the journey of you going
exactly
on this mystery.
And if I feel like the film is paced well enough to where if you don't figure that out within the first 40 minutes, you're fucking stupid. I'm sorry.
No. Jesus Christ. Or the film is just not for you.
This film opens so many doors and refuses to close them and never turns around to fucking close them or to look inside. Yeah. It's wonderful.
So this film is all about people finding hidden meaning in mystery.
Yes.
It's about where has the mystery gone? That's what I feel. One of the characters is talking to the main character. He's like, all of the mystery is gone in our lives now. So we have to kind of invent conspiracy.
Right.
And all these other things. Because when we were in like caveman days, exploring was like, we're just like finding new worlds and like, you know, just trying to survive and crossing the sea. And now it's like, we've done everything. We're so connected. There's no mystery anymore. So now it's just kind of like, we make up our own.
But this film has so many Lynchian vibes in it. Like,
okay, oh yeah.
It just,
and Hitchcockian vibes too.
Oh yeah. We're going to talk about them all. Like I wrote down specifically, but Lynchian in terms of, just attention to, we have the surface world, but then there's this underworld that nobody knows about. And once you kind of get exposed to the underworld, you go down this dark path and you don't come back.
That Blue Velvet world, baby.
Blue Velvet, Mulholland Drive did it. But Mulholland Drive also did it in Hollywood, which is where this film is set, which is, it's fantastic. But I would not compare these two, Mulholland Drive, to this, only in the fact that they're similar films structurally. But Mulholland Drive is a little bit more puzzle-ish. Like, it's... They're similar films in terms of plot, but structurally they're different.
Mm-hmm.
But they have like very mysterious tones to them.
Mysterious.
Also, they like to play with hobos. David Lynch and this guy.
Yeah, there's a great hobo in this. Probably my favorite hobo ever
yeah.
in a film. number one hobo. And the award for best hobo goes to...
The Hobo King.
I one more thing.
Yes.
I think the other big theme in this, which I was hinting at earlier, I don't think the director even realized that he did, was how women are treated in Hollywood. Because this movie is all about Hollywood.
Exactly.
It's all about show business.
Well, think about it from the perspective of the Me Too movement, where it's like, we had the underground of Hollywood just unearthed. And now we have to deal with it. And that's what this film is.
I mean,
it
still needs to be unearthed, like, more.
But still, because... you know what I mean. It's like, this film is, it's echoing the Me Too movement in the most creative way possible.
Yes. But I think some people watching this would get the opposite feeling. Like, they wouldn't understand that. They would just see, oh, there's a guy who's objectifying women. Every woman he meets wants to sleep with him and have sex with him. And all these women are being used by this. Like, this dude is a failure.
Yes.
He has no job to speak of, or just never goes to his job, doesn't pay his rent, he gets his car repossessed. Like, he's a fucking loser, but every woman in this movie loves him, and I think that's, like, on purpose.
It's Andrew Garfield, bro.
Think of all the different movies where you find, like, lovable losers, where, like, incredibly hot supermodels fall in love with him for no reason. You're like, this doesn't make any sense. This guy's a fucking failure. I don't get this. And I feel like it's playing on that. And it's playing on the noir mystery of like the detective and the sexy lady. But that keeps happening to him over and over and over again. And he's living his own weird fantasy life. So it's like the more he does the mystery, the more he's living the life he wants to live. And by the time he gets to the end of it, it's almost like he has to come back to reality. He's like, oh no, all of this was like pretend. It was fake. There's like nothing I can do about what's really going on. I'm powerless. So it's like trying to hide from how powerless he is by objectifying and controlling all these women. And they get very blatant with how Hollywood chews up and spits out women in film and how like if they get too old, they're basically, oh, you're out of film or whatever. And how difficult it can be for them. Like there is a reference, I'll just say this now, even though this should probably be in spoilers. Okay, we'll get into spoilers. How about that?
Yeah.
So this is spoilers. Watch the movie. This is spoilers. Watch the movie. This is your warning.
Did we say watch the movie?
I'm gonna spoil it.
Watch the movie.
I think I said to watch the movie, and this is spoilers, but I'm not sure.
One more time for Daddy.
This is spoilers. Watch the movie. Okay. So there are call girls in this movie that the main character interacts with that are all in films at one point of their lives. So they're all failed actresses that have now become call girls. And the whole point of it is that you can sleep with a former movie star.
Yeah, and what's fucked up is
if
one
scene... If
that
doesn't tell you what's going on in the film, I don't know what does.
Oh my god. One scene, we find out that a recurring character is also a call girl, and she's mm-hmm. like... He's like, you were in a film? He's like, and she's like, yeah, I was like a 9-year-old on a soap opera. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, she was Christ. A baby.
Oh yeah, baby.
She was a fucking baby. Literally, she was on the show for maybe like a month or so, and like that qualified her. Yeah,
it's fucked up, fucked up. Mm. I like fucked up movies, guys. So let's have you, the listener, listen to us, the talkers, talk about this fucked up movie. So, as you were saying, Hitchcock vibes, like just mirroring scenes from Hitchcock. Like there's this mm-hmm. wonderful scene in Vertigo where he's following a lady and he's tailing mm-hmm. lady, and there's just a lot of like fucking car driving, and he's going down the spirals of San Francisco. They do the exact yeah. same scene in this film in LA, and it was, I'm like, this is fucking Vertigo all over again. I loved it. Now mm-hmm. I will tell you that I was just kind of on autopilot for the first part of the film until I saw the first dream sequence, because I saw something that I have never seen before, and it just yanked me out of my autopilot and made me go, holy shit, I gotta pay attention to this movie. We open up with this woman trying to scrub off Beware the Dog Killer off of her cafe or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's a serial dog killer loose in the neighborhood, and nobody knows mm. who he is. And this is just kind of influencing the character's unconscious. And he has a dream after he meets this girl, and the girl has a dog. So he's walking through his neighborhood and he sees the dog dead. And then he sees the girl standing over a corpse, which she's eating the innards out of.
Yeah.
And she turns around to him and starts barking at him. And then we get a wide shot of this barking and the corpse splits in two and goes in opposite directions. And I'm like,
yeah, that was cool.
What the fuck did I just watch?
And the woman is actually a man dressed as a woman.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, it was a really creepy looking dude.
Ah!
Yeah, some of his dream sequences are pretty crazy. There's a big motif of dogs in this movie mm-hmm. and women barking at men. And then, so you're like, okay, women are kind of dogs. There's a dog killer. Dog is God, spelled backwards. Mm-hmm. Who are the gods in this movie? It's the media moguls. It's the really insanely rich people. What are the rich people doing? They are taking these women and killing them in their own way, whether it's through abuse or through literally killing them in this crazy cult that happens later on in the film. So I think that's what's going on in the film. Does that make sense to you? Right?
Well, I mean... I get that interpretation, but that's not really like there's just what the issue with this film is there's just so much going on in each scene to pinpoint what the film actually means. Because
oh, like, yeah,
so
that's
many.
Just how I think of it. I mean, there's many interpretations of what it could be, because like we don't ever find out who the dog killer is.
Yeah.
Everything in this movie is a mystery, including the main character. Even he is a mystery. There are mysteries within mysteries. So it's like, it's not your standard thing of, here's the mystery, let's solve it. It's, here's the mystery, now here's 500 more mysteries. Like, let me read you some of my notes. These are my first notes that I took of the film and how insane these are. This don't make any fucking sense. All right. Beware the dog killer. Squirrel explodes. Puppet. Talks to mom while watching naked elderly neighbor play with bird.
That was the most Voyeur. Fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh my god. He's oh Jesus Christ.
Milkmaid actress shows up.
Hold on.
They bone.
Hold on.
They talk about Kurt Cobain.
By the way, the milkmaid actress was Ricky Lindholm. It was really nice to see her in a movie. He's talking to his mom while he's watching a woman that is probably his mom's age being naked. And it made your skin fucking crawl.
And he has sex with her by the end of the film.
Yes, he does, of course. He has sex with everyone by the end of the film. Even me.
He tries his best to have sex with every woman in the film. And effortlessly. Very easily. He literally smells like a skunk. He gets sprayed by a skunk, Dan. And women are still throwing themselves at him.
Yes.
Like, come on. So that fits in the theme of what I'm saying. Of just like how women are just like they just have to go through these motions. Like, this is what they have to do in Hollywood. They're there to be the damsel or the woman who have sex with the main character. And that's it. So I think that's kind of what's going on in this movie.
Now, the guy is obsessed with this magazine, this local magazine that's kind of like a graphic novel called Under the Silver Lake. And he decides that he wants to meet the author, so he goes through the process of trying to meet the author. They eventually meet up, and he goes to this guy's house. Look up this actor's name. I forgot what this actor's name is, but he was also in Mulholland Drive, and he has the best scene in Mulholland Drive. So, but David Lynch likes to use him a lot because he's in the Twin Peaks of the Return as well.
Nice.
He was the perfect person for this. He's this eccentric character who is a conspiracy theorist, and he puts all of his conspiracy theories about Hollywood in this magazine, and the main character's obsessed with it.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about the Owl Woman or the Cult of the Whale.
Dude,
or
like the Owl Woman.
Any of this crazy shit.
The Owl's Kiss is...
I could have just seen a movie about that.
Me too.
This weird assassin, this naked assassin with this owl head that runs around and seduces and murders men.
You know what? Let's just leave
it's
it at that.
Fucking rad.
Let's just leave it at that. We won't even talk about it anymore.
All the movie really gives you.
If you want to know even more about it, go fucking watch it yourself because it's fucking great.
Just wild. Well, in that scene when he meets the comic writer, I liked how he has all the different life masks of all the different celebrities. And he says, like, I want to have kids just so I can pass these down.
Exactly.
Because these people need to be remembered. Because, Dan, they are the gods. You know what I mean? Like, they are the idols that these people worship. Everyone looks up to Hollywood. It's this weird thing of, like, the normal people and then the Hollywood elite.
Exactly. But that's even more weird because the anomaly here is he has one of Abraham Lincoln, which is strange. But then again, he was a person in power. But what's odd is he has one of Johnny Depp and, like, all these movie stars. They are already immortalized on film. Why do we need to have a physical representation of them?
Well, think about Obsession and how crazy people get about certain actors and actresses, you know?
That's true.
I think it's about obsession. It's about trying to find meaning where there is none. So if think about it this way, how this film works is this has been going on in the news. I mean, it's always been happening where you hear about a young model or a celebrity or whatever is a female is killed by a man who was so obsessed. Sometimes it even happens to men too, I guess. But it's the all-consuming celebrity where they feel like they have to kill this person for them to, like, become part of them, or they get way too involved. There's a term for it where you're so involved in someone's life, but you've never even met that person. So that's a big theme in this movie. Because at the very end of the film, when he finally saves this girl, or saves her in quotes, he finally gets to talk to her and make sure she's okay because he thinks he's dead. And she's like, I'm fine. She's like, you barely know me. Like, why are you even trying to find me? And he's like, I don't know.
It goes.
And that's celebrity.
Exactly.
That's like regular people with celebrity.
And it goes back to your point about looking for meaning in things that, you know, is not even there. And then you actually do find the meaning.
Yes.
Because it's a meaning to you. But what's fantastic about this is there's oh my, let me just talk about a couple scenes here. So there's scene where he's with his friend and they're playing video games and they're talking about being followed while they're spying on a woman.
Yes. Oh, that's when they're using the drone.
Yeah.
So they're talking about how, like, everyone's so paranoid about being followed, and there's like a complex where you think you're the main character of the story or whatever. And while they're saying that, they're taking a drone and flying it to this really rich person's window. And they're like, then he starts objectifying her with the Willy Wonka come and see song or whatever. And they're like, oh, we're going to see a show. We're going to see a show. And then the woman takes off her blouse. Mm-hmm. She has her bra on. They're ready. They're ready for her to get naked. She just starts crying.
Yeah.
And then the scene awkwardly ends after she's done crying. They have no emotion. They're not like, well, that was weird. Why was she crying? They're just like, I guess the show's over. So, I mean, if that doesn't sound, like I said, I keep saying. I'll tell you what the movie is. But the weirdest part is I don't even know if that's what the director intended.
Well, it doesn't matter. That's why I think this movie is beautiful, because it doesn't fucking matter what the director intends. It's all about how we, you know, essentially what
interpret it.
We interpret it, which is doing what? We are creating meaning where there is none.
Yeah.
So fucking meta, guys. Oh, my God. Anyway, the one thing that I'm going to do a super critique of that I couldn't tell if it was helping the movie or hurting it. But there's this mysterious character who's like kind of, you see him everywhere that these people are disappearing. And he's done up exactly like a cartoon pirate. You see him every fucking time somebody disappears.
Every time they have the pirate show up, they play that really intense music like dun dun dun.
But
dun.
He looks so fucking stupid that I can't take it seriously. That's my issue.
It was hilarious. That was the joke.
It was funny. Exactly. So I don't know if it helped the movie for me or hurt it, because it was not mysterious. It was just this fucking cartoony pirate. Just like, imagine
there
the
SpongeBob.
There
are some funny things in it, but it's confusing when it's supposed to be funny and when it's not. Because, like, when that weird naked man is chasing him when he's walking in the park, like, that was creepy, you know?
That was awesome.
But, like, you never see that naked guy again. A lot of the mysteries and the threads, they just kind of go off. There are so many scenes we could talk about in this film. There's just too many things that are going on. There's the man who, like, wrote all these songs that are all,
that
like, the biggest songs in your childhood.
Movie. Like his.
That's where the film turns.
Yeah. His whole spiel about writing
your
everything.
Rebellion is manufactured by an old man.
Fuck me, man. It's so good. So good. That's the scene that I was talking about. Do you ever feel like a movie was made directly for you? That's what it was.
That point is you're about an hour into the movie, and that's when everything starts to get really fucking dark and really fucking grimy.
Mm-hmm.
Because up to that point, it was just like a weird, lighthearted, bizarre mystery. And then after that, like, you get in the seedy underbelly of mm-hmm. Hollywood. And the more you actually learn, the less you wanted to know,
mm-hmm.
basically.
It's fucking great.
All of the answers are terrible, and you don't want to know them.
But you
especially
keep going.
The ending.
You keep
yeah,
going. And
but
like,
he keeps going.
And he's such an unlikable dude, too, that you're like, okay, yeah. I guess this is happening. Oh, God. So
yeah.
Throughout the film, there's this television newscast about this billionaire who is gone missing.
Yeah.
And then he dies in a car fire. And basically, the whole thing that we're leading up to is the Hollywood elite, or people who can afford it, burrow into Hollywood. Like, they burrow underground and make tombs for themselves so they can live there for 6 months and ascend, in quotes. And he finds all this out at the end. But we figure out that the billionaire who's been missing the whole time, he is the one who has done this. And there's a scene where Andrew Garfield's character hooks up with that billionaire's daughter and they mm-hmm. go out for a walk and they're like, let's go swimming in the reservoir, the Silver Lake. And they're all of a sudden being shot at by who knows, who fucking knows. Yeah. I don't know. But she dies.
Yes.
And then there's this beautiful shot where he looks at her and she's in the same exact pose of the Playboy he first ever masturbated to. I'm like, holy
yes.
shit.
Yeah.
Stop it, movie. Just
it's
stop.
Fucking wild. It's fucking wild.
I like I said, mouth agape for maybe two-thirds of this movie.
Yeah, the weird sex and commercialism thing with the violence all mixed together is a fucking Ouroboros of madness. Just, oh man, it's out of control. Because he is like solely motivated by sex and curiosity. So a big thing about that Pharaoh stuff, too, is that he takes women with him.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And these women aren't even, like, media moguls or anybody. They're just attractive women that they want to take. They're his, like, concubines or mm-hmm. whatever. So that's kind of what I was alluding to earlier. And so one of the girl that he's looking for, who's the girl who gets her skirt blown up?
Marilyn Manson.
Monroe. Yeah, it's his Marilyn Monroe, pretty much.
Yeah.
And he's trying to find this like idol, but he like doesn't even know this woman really. God, there's too much in this movie.
It's so much.
We could go on and on and on. Let's talk about maybe one more scene each,
okay.
if you want.
Whenever he goes into the tomb that the homeless king, oh God. Okay. So
Let's talk about the homeless king.
He meets the homeless king. The homeless king is just this, like, he's not gruff or anything. He's just a regular fucking dude who comes up to him. He's like, who are you? He's like, I'm the homeless king. He's wearing a fucking crown.
He's got a crown and a cool cape on, like a patchwork cape. He's got some dusty mud on him. I don't know. He's a little
dusty. You know, he looks dusty, but he doesn't sound dusty. He just sounds like a regular dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, it's like, what do you
and
want?
And there's references to how the main character hates homeless people because he thinks they're the ghosts of our modern age. It's interesting because he's like, they're just kind of around and they resent others for finding love and happiness.
Mm-hmm.
But that's him. Like, the main character is a homeless person. Like, he has no home. He has none of these things, so he's like, he hates the thing that he is.
Film is just, it, you're right.
Like, he is the homeless, and the homeless king is guiding him, literally guiding him through his journey, through his odyssey.
This film is like an onion. It has layers.
And there's a whole big thing of him talking about how, like, he thought that in his life he would be more important or special, or he would actually do something with his life. And I feel like that's what, like, everybody fucking feels that way. And, like, him chasing this mystery is him trying to, like, I think he wanted to figure out if he could be, like, the special.
Mm-hmm.
It's that feeling of, like, there's something more. And then when you find out what it is and it's fucking terrible and awful and you should never, like, yeah. It's just the worst. And then instead of him just trying to fix his own life, you know, buying that dog that the main character, the female lead tells him, he's like, why don't you just buy that dog and just try to fix your, like, work on yourself and just live the best life that you can. He's like, nope, I'm going to go fuck that old lady. I'm going to go solve some more mysteries. It's wonderful. So please find us on Facebook, Indie Film Review. You can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. We are at Gmail if you would like to email us, maybe send us a film suggestion at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com.
We are on Instagram at IndieFilmReviewPod.
Mm-hmm.
Find us on Apple Podcasts. Rate us 5 stars because we deserve it.
That's right. IndieFilmReview.podbean.com is where we're hosted right now. We are proud members of the Necropodicon Network. The Necropodicon is a collection of handsome and sexy individuals who only know how to make good podcasts.
Yeah.
For people who are only exclusively cool podcasts.
I think.
And all of them are a fantastic mystery waiting to be unlocked.
Yes, exactly. You took it, man. I was gonna say something, but you did it better.
They have good. They have D&D podcasts, movie podcasts. There's comedy. There's everything there. We're there, so that's good, right? So yeah, check them out. They have a Discord.
I'm gonna go on to fucking Discord and tell them to watch this fucking episode. I mean,
yeah,
watch,
we're probably just gonna
movie.
Scream. Yeah, we're gonna scream at them to fucking watch this film, and then they're all gonna say we hate it. We're like, well, we gotcha. thank you again, and Dan, you have the final word.
Imagine this: Andrew Garfield walking towards you in pajama pants, and clearly in his pajama pants you can see the outline of his fantastic cock. Because you can. Good night.
God, can you believe she did that?
I was on the edge of my pants the whole time.
Where'd that sword come from?
It made me say boom shakalaka.
Hey everybody, this is the Wheel or Woe crew, and if you enjoyed the show you just listened to, it's part of the Necropodicon Network. That's a network of podcasts that have all different types of shows, from audio dramas to movie reviews to tabletop role-playing games. You can check all of them out at necropodicon.com.